still an art, and no one's from the old school. This rap is still a brand new tool.
Welcome to Ray and Tay today.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and the news is breaking fast. You want to join us? Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up on the email, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We're getting some Final Four emails, some baseball emails. This is exciting. And like always, tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. Check out rayandtaytoday.com, NBA, baseball standings, photos, poll questions, NFL free agency. We got you covered. And Ray, tell them what we're covering on this fun, fantastic show.
We've got a lot to cover because we've got this segment called Breaking News, and there is a ton of breaking news in all aspects of the sporting world. So we'll get into breaking news. We'll cover golf, football, basketball, baseball, and then
bowling.
Bowling. I don't know about bowling, but, you know, we might find some breaking news. We could dig up some in the next couple minutes.
I got some.
You never know. The PBA Tour, man. They keep it real. So after breaking news, we will spend the majority of the show talking Major League Baseball. So it's an MLB preview show. Ray was at Mets opening day yesterday. I saw Steven Strasburg live and in person. We've got our previews. We'll tell you who we think is going to win each of the six divisions. We'll tell you who's going to be our postseason award winners. We'll tell you who we think the postseason, what the postseason is going to look like, and who's going to win the World Series. So if you're in Vegas right now and you're listening to us, we can't guarantee anything, but we'll, you know, give you some things to think about. We never advocate, you know, putting down the money on our picks, but we'll just give you some food for thought. Let's put it that way.
Sounds good. Don't forget before that too, we got to talk about a little bit of the Final Four, man, and how they got there in the Elite Eight, because it was an awesome weekend of college hoops, and this Final Four is going to be great. So, give me the breaking news. I'm hungry. Feed me. What's going on? Hot off the presses in the NBA before we get to Tiger.
Oh, it's crazy. So, turn the clock back to 2006, and we have a replay of a power move that Pat Riley did to Stan Van Gundy. So Larry Bird.
Now, where are you getting this from? I don't see it anywhere. Where are you getting this
from? No, ESPN is breaking it. They said that Larry Bird is coming down, and he's going to take he's going to kick Frank Vogel to another job within the organization, and he's going to come and be the head coach. And
that's
the
incredible.
Theory is he's the one that made the trade for traded away Danny Granger and got Evan Turner and signed Andrew Bynum, and ever since then, the team has been in the tailspin. They are the lowest-scoring team in the NBA in the month of March, and Larry Bird says, look, I took them to the only finals that they've been to in 2000.
But, Ray, they got – you know what issues they got, though? Your boy, first of all, Stevenson is going nuts. His assists have dropped from 6 a game from the All-Star break to 3 a game. Paul George, who won Player of the Month in November, his field goal percentage has gone down every month. By the way, I still stick with Carmelo Anthony, and I told you who's the number 3 small forward, not Paul George, and he's showing it to be true. Melo's playing great, and the Knicks might make the playoffs. They could upset the Pacers, or the Pacers could lose to your Bobcats the way they are the number 2 seed.
Negative.
But the Pacers are in trouble, and I don't know if Larry Bird, with Bynum being out, we don't know if he can make it back, if Evan Turner will be the man, although he was in that game against the Heat. But, hey, I understand Larry doing this. I get it, but I don't know if the coach is the problem. I think Vogel's a great coach. It's kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, and you know what? Stan Van Gundy had a similar situation in Orlando 8 years ago. He brought them to the conference finals. They were chugging along just fine. You could argue Indiana now is in worse shape than the Miami Heat were back then, though. So
Down in Miami. Yeah.
And you could argue Pat Riley, though, is a better coach than Larry Bird. But Bird probably thinks to himself, I owe it to myself. I owe it to the fans in Indianapolis. And I'm the one that made the moves that maybe tipped the boat, you know, and sunk the boat. So,
okay.
Very
Let's
interesting
see what
situation.
Happens.
Yeah.
And then following suit, I guess, in basketball, a couple of jobs, but in college, our boy, we just talked about him off air the other day, one of the assistants who's in the Final Four for Kentucky, Orlando Antigua, from the Bronx, is the head coach of South Florida. Him and Rod Strickland are two assistants for Calipari, so congrats to him. And then the Duke, 13 years?
Yeah, he's been there since 99.
Oh, gosh, Steve Wojciechowski takes over.
Remember the point guard.
Yeah, he's going to be the head coach in Marquette, so good for him and good for Orlando. That it's great to see former players who maybe didn't get to make it in the NBA get a chance to be a head coach in college after being assistants for quite a while. So that's fantastic. And then El Tigre had surgery. Tiger Woods is out of the Masters and going to miss a couple of tournaments. But, you know, I think Tiger's got to get better. So if he needs to be operated on to get better, then Godspeed and God bless him, and hopefully he can come back and have a legit shot to win a Masters, let alone to get four more.
Right, and you know what's also crazy in breaking news? Don Baylor, the Angels hitting coach, broke his leg on the ceremonial first
fibula.
Pitch. How crazy is that?
Yeah, they thought he was joking. He couldn't get out of the squad, and he's been fighting a rare type of cancer. So our prayers are with him. Vladimir Guerrero threw the pitch to Baylor, and Baylor just squatting, playing catcher, broke the fibula. That's sad. That's and I didn't know he was fighting cancer like this. So I thought, you know, that was kind of interesting. God bless him. DeSean Jackson, NFL, you know, since last we were on, he got released by the Eagles, and all these rumors that came out, and, you know, basically LAPD's like, look, he's not a gang member. So, you know, I got to say this, though. Shame on the Eagles if they leaked some of this stuff or anything like that to NJ.com or whatever. You can't prove that they did. But if they did, that's bad. Look, just stand up and say, you know what, he doesn't fit our system, and we don't want to pay him $10 million a season to be, you know, a wide receiver for us. Say that, you know, don't say or say, you know, you disagree with him in the locker room or whatever. Don't start up rumors that could affect the man and his livelihood, you know, with other teams. And right now he's in Washington. Maybe the Washington Redskins will sign him with RG3 and open up for Morris. Wow, that'd be exciting. The Niners want to jump in, the Browns, the Bills. And did you also hear our man from ESPN, my ex-Steeler, Ryan Clark, signed with the Redskins? So that's a good signing. So maybe he could help in the locker room down there with RG3 and Jay Gruden, maybe DeSean Jackson. So
yeah, that Redskin team, I think they'll get the best free agent coming back, and his name is RG3, right? Because they'll just get a new RG3 coming back. I do think that this past year was an anomaly. I think he'll be fine. And if you were to add DeSean Jackson to that offense with Pierre Garçon, who led
the
league with 113 catches for Garçon. You got the two tight ends who can play. You've got Alfred Morris who can run the ball. You've got a rejuvenated third-year RG3. That team's winning the NFC East, and they're probably an elite NFC team.
Yeah, they we'll see.
Stable.
Yeah, Ryan Clark helps. We'll see if he can sign there. I think the Niners and Raiders are going to go hard after him. And what do you think about the rumors of the Buffalo Bills maybe being bought by a group with Donald Trump involved? I don't know if the NFL would ever approve it, being that he was with the USFL and tried to sue the NFL. So we'll, you know, stay tuned with that. We'll keep you updated. But Donald Trump, you know, being an NFL owner, that would be fascinating.
The New Jersey Generals, part two. Maybe he'll bring Herschel back. Because, you know, Herschel still does 1,000 sit-ups a night.
Listen, don't sleep on Herschel Walker, ladies and gentlemen. Do not ever sleep on Herschel Walker. And
we have a caller. Let's see what the caller's got to say.
Somebody's ready to jump in.
Yeah, they got something to say. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Larry Bird is back on the bench, gentlemen. Here
come
the Pacers.
Oh, yeah. So what do you think? Is this Mike?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Mike. So what do you think? Is that a good thing? If you're an Indiana Pacers fan, are you happy right now?
That is a great move. A perfect timing to do it at the end of the season when they're in a slump. I've seen this work countless times in sports where, you can only go so far with the coach. And you bring in a guy like Bird, he's going to demand the respect of the players. I guarantee you, you're going to see a different team right off the bat. And I think it's
really?
An absolute – yes.
So does Lance pass the ball now to West and to Hibbert inside? Does Paul George's shooting percentage get better?
Yeah, you're going to see the Pacers that you saw earlier in the year, the best team in the NBA. You're going to see that here by the end of the year. Obviously, the first two rounds are going to be a cakewalk to the Eastern Final, before you get to Miami.
Not the way they've been playing. They've been playing like the Bobcats and Knicks could take them the distance.
With the Knicks, I knew we were going to go down that road.
They're playing good ball. Don't discount my Knicks. And by the way, Ray's going to have to wear a Bobcat jersey. You know we've been talking about that on the show all season because the Bobcats are so solid in the playoffs in the seventh seed.
Yes, I have to go buy my Kemba Walker jersey. Maybe I'll get an Al Jefferson jersey. Yes, I do owe Tay a picture with me in a Bobcats jersey because I kept saying that Michael Jordan is a bad evaluator of talent. So they will be under 500, but they'll also be the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference most
so,
likely.
So, Mike, you think this can maybe project them past the Heat. That would be interesting. But I want to ask you something real quick. This draft is filling up. Everyone's coming out. Everybody and their mama. I mean, even the Zach Levines and the Ennises, the Wiggins, everybody's coming. And Bede, surprised me, he's coming out. Let me ask you this. With what the Sixers have been doing, the Bucks, and I know you had your tanking show and couldn't get to hear it live, definitely want to check it out. But I want to ask you, did these guys losing early on in the tournament, the freshmen, did it surprise you and does – The Harrison twins, do they come out the way Kentucky's been playing? Young, we know Randall's been a beast, or do you see like someone like Florida winning it all because we're getting into the Final Four talk with Wobekin, who might be the only guy, maybe him and Patrick Young could possibly play in the NBA. What do you think about Calipari and his Fab Five?
Well, the thing is the only player I really saw that's changed, in my opinion, their draft status is Randall. I thought he kind of was falling a little bit from where he was earlier in the year. But, guys, I'm going to go back to the person I've been talking about for the longest time, and I'm getting a lot of flack for talking about him. No one's seen him, Dante Exum. I'm telling you guys, this guy is the real deal.
Have you seen him? How do you see him? I mean, are there clips of him? Because I haven't seen him at all.
He's played against Wiggins and Parker and all those guys. Like in a when those guys were in high school, they played in one of those Nike
AAU
camp
games.
Yeah, the Nike tournaments in the summer. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this guy is really that good. I know a lot of times people don't want to buy into the hype because they've never seen him. He's from another country, but just watching this guy, and when they start, the draft comes, and these players are going to start working out for these teams, you're going to hear this guy's name. I'm just so high on this guy. I'm praying somehow the Celtics can get him, but I bet he ends up as a Laker. I just got
Is he 6'4", 6'5"? Is he a pure point guard, or is he one of these hybrid guards?
No, he's sick. He's about 6'6", and he's basically Penny Hardaway with a quicker first step. Obviously, he's like Hardaway coming into the league. His outside shot isn't strong now, but he's not he's an unselfish player. You can play him at the two guard if you need him. But I think his position is going to be a point guard, and I'm projecting just like Anthony Hardaway, you know, before he got injured.
Wow.
Wow.
Is he bringing Little Penny with him too? Those commercials are pretty funny.
He's going to have his own commercial, I'm telling you. And you guys, the thing that's getting me that's a little bit upsetting is everybody's trying to say this draft is overhyped.
This draft is great. It's not overhyped. Might be underhyped.
You're right. There's no LeBron James, but from about positions 1 to 7, all those players are better than anything you saw coming out last year.
Well, you know what's crazy, Mike?
But I think it's a deep draft. So even though it's almost like a football mentality, filling out your roster, I got to believe that
there's guys
going to
be in the second round that could play in the play.
Yeah, so the 31st rounders, I got to believe that, you know, 15 to 20 of them will make rosters in a meaningful way. I mean, first rounders are guaranteed in the NBA, right? So they'll all make the roster on their first contract. But I'm thinking that these guys will be meaningful contributors. Man, they won't all be starters, but they'll all be meaningful contributors. And you might even have some second rounders, you know, maybe 10 second rounders that are potentially, you know, nice players.
Where's James Michael McAdoo going to go? He might wind up being anywhere from 20 to 30, and I think he could be, you know, in a rotation, eighth, ninth man off the bench, and, you know, be a part of a team.
Here's the thing, guys, is you got players like McDermott, Payne from Michigan State, the guy from Wichita State. All those guys are, like, projected in the late teens. So, you know, so someone like the Celtics are in good shape because, you know, they got their first pick, which will be around 6 or 7 unless they get lucky. And then they had that late-round pick, you know, which is going to be Brooklyn's pick, which will probably be like 17 or something. So I think that pick right there is going to be really good. You know, the Sixers have an extra one with, you know, the Pelicans pick.
Philly will be back. They'll be back strong, I think. You know, and then cap room, they can sign a nice free agent. So real quick, we've got to do our baseball preview. Final Four, who you liking and who's going to win it?
Baseball?
No. Final Four in college hoops. College hoops. Florida versus UConn. Kentucky against Wisconsin with our new friend Frank Comiskey.
I guess I got to go with Florida. I'm pulling for Kentucky and then, you know, the five freshmen. But ultimately, I think Florida gets it. And just a final comment, guys, for you. I am praying here on my knees that DeSean Jackson goes to the Washington Redskins because there's nothing more that I want to see is the Eagle fans have to watch him going up and down the field twice a year. As much as a Cowboys fan as I am, I'd rather see him doing it for the Redskins than the Eagles because you know those fans in Philly are going to be screaming bloody murder because, you know, they got someone in Riley Cooper. What he did, he's still on the team and gets a contract, and DeSean Jackson gets kicked off the team.
Chip Kelly is taking a big risk.
He is. He's taking a huge risk, guys.
Yeah, he might be a little bit too confident in his skills. It's like Mike Shanahan, who said, you know, traded away any running back because he said any running back in my system can run for 1,000 yards, so I don't really need to pay running backs. So we'll see. Chip Kelly seems to think that he can survive and thrive without DeSean Jackson. I mean, this guy's one of the most explosive players in the league, but yeah, it'd be interesting if he stays in the NFC East because he knows that division like anybody else. And yeah, as a Cowboy fan, I want him to go, you know, go to the AFC, go to the Raiders or something.
Yeah. All right, Mike, great call. Thanks a lot, man, and we'll talk to you soon. Friday, we'll be back on talking heavy NBA.
Sounds good.
Take care, Mike.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
So that leads us into so many things, but let's do it. Before we talk baseball, Final Four, the Elite Eight, Ray, was amazing. And the one thing you got to say about these Kentucky kids, first of all, Randall, first time since Gene Banks that every tournament game he's had a double-double. So got to throw that stat out there.
Randall, Gene Banks, though.
Yeah, shout out to Gene Banks.
1978 goes to the Final Four with Mike Jaminski.
And Randall was the, you know, most outstanding player of the region. But I'll say this. look at them. They beat three teams from the Final Four last year, including the two guys in the championship, Louisville and Michigan, and took out Wichita State. So Kentucky, I think if they have to face Florida, if they can get past Wisconsin, I think they're ready to this time finally in the fourth matchup beat the Florida Gators. And for me, I'll just say I got to give you props. You've been a Florida all year, and Young, Prather, Frazier, Scotty Wobegon, to me, Scotty Wobegon is amazing because I've never seen anybody when he has to or wants to just come in with these clutch little floaters, just drop them on anybody at will. And that kid to me is amazing. But what Napier has done.
Perseverance, too. He's been kicked off the team twice. He had to get, you know, they had to talk to his parents.
Yeah, because he was acting bad.
No, I'm just saying. I mean,
definitely.
Like the struggles that he's had at Florida and the struggles that Billy Donovan and he have had kind of that love-hate relationship. But the interesting juxtaposition will be if the four seniors from Florida play the five freshmen from Florida. From
Kentucky.
So
it would
it'll be
great.
A complete opposite of five freshmen who probably will be drafted in the first round versus four seniors who none of them may be first-round picks, but they
Too
stayed
bad,
for 4 years.
Our boy's not going to play, though, looks like, Carly Stein. So.
Yeah, but this other kid, Lee, came off the bench, and he's a McDonald's All-American, and he did
and
great.
DeMarco, and the Johnson kid, too, is nice. So, yeah, and Calipari is he's amazing. That's all I can say. But let's talk about UConn and Wisconsin. Wisconsin played an amazing game against Arizona. I mean, Frank is ridiculous. Trayvon Jackson's ridiculous. I mean, Decker and Bruss didn't even have great games. You got to believe Bo Ryan this is his chance to win it all, man. And I think Wisconsin's got a heck of a chance to beat Kentucky because, you know, Frank Kaminsky, he's so different. You know,
really
I mean, the way he can go outside.
Seven footer that can go inside, outside, and Cauley Stein being down means that they have five fewer fouls.
Yeah.
I think the key is Randall. I think the key is if Kaminsky can get Randall in foul trouble. By the way, Randall to me is like the combination of Wayman Tisdale and Bernard King.
He'd be my number one pick. He's
and
a beast.
He's left-handed,
even though he only
so
goes
not.
Left. Wait, but even though he only goes left, you still can't stop it.
You still can't stop him.
He's got to work on the right hand a little bit. Yeah, you still
That's
can't
okay.
Stop
He'll
him.
Work on the right hand.
Yeah, he will. He will.
I tell you what. So in that game, that's fascinating to see Frank Kaminsky versus the forwards, and they're basically a bunch of forwards. And Lee, I guess they got one or two, you know, Johnson and Lee are technically.
And then the Harrison twins against the Wisconsin guards, too.
Yeah, so the big athletic wings for Kentucky versus the shooters and the, you know, inside-outside play of a smaller Wisconsin team. So that'll be interesting. And then on the other side of the bracket, you mentioned it, Shabazz Napier and Ryan Boatwright, a junior and a senior.
Amazing.
I'm getting flashbacks of Kemba Walker. I mean, this guy.
Shabazz has been special.
This is why guard play is so important in college basketball, especially in the tournament. I mean, this guy is putting the team on his back. Not only that, but do you see what they're doing at the free throw line? I mean,
that was so impressive.
You can't foul 21 or 22 free throw. You can't foul them. They're both mid 80% free throw shooters, Boatwright and Napier, and they have total control of the ball. And the game is completely under their control. They have the ball on the string. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to watch. It really is. And what's great about this Final Four is that these four teams are all over the map. They're totally different, right?
Yeah.
Florida is the only team in the league that's top 20 in offense and defense, and they've got the four seniors, and they go 8 or 9 deep. So they got the seniors and the depth, but they don't really have the stars. Kentucky has the stars, but they're also freshmen, and they make a lot of freshman mistakes still. And they kill you on the offensive glass.
Kill you on the offensive glass.
Wisconsin, that's a historical defensive slow-it-down team. This year actually is an offensive team. Doesn't play great defense, but gives you matchup issues, and they pull
out.
They
can score from anywhere on the floor, and they can score from anywhere on the floor.
And then you got UConn, who came out of nowhere as a 7 seed. Yeah, look, Kentucky's an 8 seed, but to begin the season, they were the number one ranked team in the country. So they're not a real 8 seed. You know, they're just a
they are the Blue Bloods,
the
Kentucky Blue Bloods. And you know, this is the first time, Ray, we have a 1-2-7-8, this combination in the Final Four. So that's kind of interesting too. It's and what was Villanova was the last team to win from this high of a ranking.
Yeah, they were the last. They were an 8 seed. Yeah.
So. Look, it's going to be great. You know what I like about Kentucky, though? Like Daniels and some of these big guys, they're sort of under the radar, but they were pretty long and pretty they were pretty tough against Michigan. I mean, look, give them kudos. You and I, a lot of folks' brackets are jacked up because of picking Michigan State as champions, and everybody on ESPN picked Michigan State as the champ. So give UConn credit. That was an impressive comeback and win. And to do it at the Garden with that crowd rocking, that it gave me chills. So, you know, and props to Kevin Ollie, right, his first Final Four. That's great. And only, what,
now
his second year coaching?
Remember
yeah.
how – and give Jim Calhoun some props, because remember how Jim Calhoun went out. He went out in September or August and basically forced Connecticut to give Kevin Ollie the head coaching job. So he played their hand. And then then they only gave it to him on an interim basis. And then he finally got the head coaching job, and now leading his UConn alma mater, the number 7 Huskies,
it's
all the way to the Final Four.
It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful for the kids. So before we – okay, enough of that. We got to talk about baseball. It's very, 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 very good to me. But I do want to tell you about this guy. This guy, man, bowled 280 bowling backwards. It was on ESPN.
What do you mean,
that's pretty impressive.
Backwards? What does that mean?
He bowls backwards, like he throws it behind it. Like he doesn't face forward and bowl. He bowls backwards and bowls a 280, and he looks like a wrestler from the WWE. It's amazing. I swear
to
God.
Where are you seeing this dude?
This is on ESPN on Around the Horn. Oh, it's great. It's pure comedy, man. So I had to throw in a little comedy because anybody that bowls it, you know, I mean, hey, I don't know what your best is bowling. Maybe in the high 100s.
I couldn't bowl a 280 in 2 games.
Yeah, I couldn't bowl a 280. That, you know, that's impressive. So I got to give somebody props bowling 280. So he could be on the tour soon, on the PBA tour. So let's do it, man. I mean, today is a big day for Yankee fans. Jeter's last opening day down at with the Houston Astros and the Yankees playing. Sort of weird opening it up in Houston, right, for a Yankee fan. But you know that's what's happening
in the American League, no less.
I know, right? Anyway, but you know we had instant replay, we had opening day, Sunday night, you know, Australia. Now it's official. Everybody's pretty much opened up by tonight. Everybody will have started to play. We're about to give you our picks and predictions. But tell us a little bit about what's going on at Citi Field, what you thought about the Mets. You saw them live against Washington. And, you know, last night the D-backs had a great game, lost to the Giants. But tell us about the Mets. What do you think about Wheeler?
It was Dylan G. Dylan G started.
Oh, okay. Dylan G got the start. Okay.
Yeah, and he went against Strasburg, and Strasburg actually got hit. He only gave up 4 or 5 hits, but 2 home runs. So Strasburg left up 4-2, or down 4-2.
Right. Who's this Andre Brown kid from Nebraska, right? The Mets young kid?
Starting left fielder, yeah, for the Mets.
Okay.
And he hit a home run. He hit a big home run. And you were thinking, all right, the Mets are doing their thing, and then it all falls apart. Not only does it fall apart, the Mets use like four or five relievers. Bobby Parnell apparently gets hurt and might be shut down, so they might have some bullpen closer issues. And then you're thinking to yourself, oh, no, don't tell me it's the same old Mets.
Yeah.
And I hope for all those Mets fans out there that it isn't, but I have a feeling this might be a long season. Might be a long season. Might be looking at 2015 Mets and Knicks, you know, on the comeback trail.
Let me ask you this, because I know you were interested in this, and we talked about it, you know, spring training talk a little bit on the show. Nelson Cruz gets the game winner, has the home run in Baltimore, and then Ryan Braun, but both of them, especially Ryan Braun, gets a standing ovation in Milwaukee. What did you think about the PED guys, you know, getting some love around baseball? I mean, for their home crowds, of course. I was a little surprised.
So it was interesting to see Braun and Cruz, right? Because Cruz was a Ranger, and now he's an Orioles. So it's a new home crowd, and whereas Braun is kind of the hometown guy. I think it says a lot about American society. So first, in the Braun case, it says that people are forgiving, which can be good and bad, but I think in general it's good.
But he betrayed those people and the whole Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. That's surprising.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the other thing that's a little bit sad is that we'll almost do anything to be a winner, you know, and to have pride in our team. So I think the Milwaukee Brewer fans are so happy to have him back, one of their own, and they want to win, and they want to be part of the, you know, the winning tradition of the old Brewers, you know, Harvey's Wallbangers, and of course 3-4 years ago with CC Sabathia and everything, they started to, you know, reemerge as a playoff team, that they're willing to look past it. But
right, when that Prince Fielder,
you know, I guess he served his time, but this guy went at it. He personally attacked the FedEx guy, the guy who made the collection. I mean, really, there's a little Lance Armstrong going on over there. Now, since then, he stepped back and he said the right thing.
He's called season ticket holders and personally thanked them for, you know, and looking forward to the season. I don't know. I don't want to give this guy too much light because I don't think he necessarily deserves it. But that's their choice, right? That's their laundry. That's their home team. It's Nelson Cruz, you know, like you said, it's a new team. But good for him hitting a home run and you know, when you play that good, you know, what are the Oriole fans going to do? They're going to love you, man. They're going to love you. So before we start with our predictions, I just want to ask you real quick, give me 2 or 3 players that are, I don't know, you know, maybe some guys that you're thinking are going to really do something special this year that are not the obvious, not our MVP picks, not, you know, like for me, I'll tell you one guy that I'm interested in. I think for the Orioles, I think Adam Jones. He might not be MVP, but I think Adam Jones, you know, having
he's
Cruz in the lineup.
He's at next level, but no.
Yeah,
but no
I think
MVP.
Adam
he's
Jones
awesome.
Is going to have a great, great season. I think he's someone I'm excited to watch. And I'm excited to see if the Angels could get it together and Albert Pujols could come
and
back.
Hamilton.
And Hamilton, right? Can they both basically come back and play baseball? Can they be their baseball card? Can they be the back of their card? So those are a couple of storylines I'm interested in.
Okay, no, those are some good storylines. I like that. I like to see that. I think that I want to see if Kansas City can get over the hump. You know, I really want them to. They've got a heck of a catcher in Salvador Perez. They've got some talent on that roster. They've
got
him
on my team.
They don't have superstars, but they have some stars. So I'm interested to see that. I'm also interested to see how Ian Kinsler does. How he does in his new team with the Tigers.
Right,
there's a lot
the
of pressure on the Tigers right now. And
right, for trading away that big bat.
Yeah, Fielder, you get rid of Fielder, and Fielder was your guy for many, many years before Cabrera got there. So Ian Kinsler and Austin Jackson, so that combination. So they batted Austin Jackson fifth in the lineup, and Ian Kinsler led off. So it's a little shake-up in that Detroit offense, and I think we both have them.
And they've been knocking
division.
On the door. It's time for Detroit. I hate to say it, but if they don't win this year, you know, I think there's pressure on the new manager. Everything they've been knocking on the door, and your team. You don't want to say they're getting older, but you know, I don't know. And Cabrera, that contract, oh, just ridiculous. And Trout, he gets the $144 million, not so bad. At 28, he'll be able to get another $200 million contract, so that's pretty amazing. And Cabrera, $292, which is just funny money. It's ridiculous. But let's do it. Let's talk about – I'll give you my first. Let's talk about the AL East as we're talking about Cabrera and the American League. I got to tell you, I've been going back and forth on this, but for me, I got the AL East. The Rays had won. I just think Price and the pitching – Longoria, the hitting, and Madden. I think he's, you know, if he's not manager of the year, he's close to it. But I think, he's going to be able to get them over the hump. So I got the Rays first. I got the Yankees second, you know, making sort of that that comeback. I like the moves they picked up. Yeah, well, for Jeter, but I just like their moves. I think they'll edge out the Red Sox for the wild card. I, you know, have them and Cleveland in my wild card. But I got the Yankees in second, the Red Sox in third, Baltimore in fourth. But I think it's going to be so close. Like, I mean, it's going to come down to the last week of the season for these teams that you almost wish you had an extra wild card. And then I have Toronto, who with these guys, Reyes and Dickey,
oh,
looks horrible.
Went on the DL already.
I know, and I'm getting ready to drop him on my fantasy team. He's a bum.
He hurt his hand.
And Dickey, yeah, he played like what, half an inning, one inning, I don't know. And then Ari Dickey looks horrible. So I got basically Rays, Yankees, Sox, Orioles, and the Blue Jays. That's my AL East.
So I have
what
the
are you
same,
looking at?
I have the same thing in the AL East, except I swap Boston and New York. So I actually don't think that Jeter is going to go out in the playoffs this year.
Mm.
So he is going to play 162 games, and that's all. I like the Yankees' moves. I think that all of those moves in the short term are productive moves. I'm a little worried about the back end of the contract with
of course.
5 years to Brian McCann and the 7 years to Jacoby Ellsbury. But ultimately, 3 years, Carlos Beltran, hopefully he'll give you, you know, at least two
Carlos. We got
so
him, what, 8 years too late?
Yeah, right? I'm worried about the Yankees' health getting older because, you know, the older players always break down. And I think the one guy that nobody's really talking about that the Yankees really need can really help put him over the hump is Mark Teixeira. I'm worried that his career might be done as an elite player. He's still going to be elite defensively, but I'm not sure about him as an offensive switch hitter, especially from the right side. But I think the Yankees fall a little bit short. I think they win, you know, 88 games or so, 89 games, and they fall short. And I think Boston is that second seed in the AL East, and I think Boston takes one of the wild cards.
Okay. So let's go to AL Central. For me, it's I got two teams making it here. I believe the Tigers will win, but I think Cleveland will get that second wild card. I like what they did last year. I think that their youth is only going to get more experience, and I think Francona is probably one of the best managers in baseball. So I think he's going to get them over the hump in the wild card and maybe do some damage. I got the White Sox in third, then the Royals. I do like the Royals, but I just think the White Sox, they got some young arms and some young players. They look pretty good. Royals in fourth, and I got the Twins in fifth. I feel bad for Minnesota. I just think Maurer's there, but I just don't think there's enough help in Minnesota. So that's how I see the Central.
So we have the same top of the Central. I think Detroit runs away with this division. I think this is,
yeah,
even though Cleveland's pretty good, I think Detroit's going to run away and hide. I think Detroit might win 96, 97 games, and even if Cleveland wins 90 or so, they'll be you know, a good 6, 7, 8 games behind the Tigers. So I like 1 and 2. I think Cleveland misses out to the wild card. I think the wild card's coming out of the AL West. I think one from the East, one from the West. And then I think Kansas City will be right on Cleveland's neck. I don't think they'll catch them, but I wouldn't be surprised if they finish second. So I think Kansas City finishes third, barely, and I think there's a huge drop-off then. I think Minnesota and Chicago finish fourth and fifth. I just don't think either team's that good. They're both in rebuilding mode. I will say this, that one of my award winners, though, is Abreu. So Jose Abreu, first baseman from Cuba for the Chicago White Sox. So that'll be
interesting.
If
that's one of the young studs I'm talking about. They got some young players.
So,
young pitchers,
so I'd like to see him. And I'd like to see these guys, like Yoenis Cespedes did very well coming over, playing with the Oakland A's. I hope this kid, Abreu, can do the same.
Okay. Well, following just exactly on what you said, and I think he will lead the A's to first place. I think the Oakland A's, Bob Melvin and their team, their pitchers, I think the experience from last year will just, you know, stay with them. And I think the Angels do bounce back, but I think they just barely miss right behind the Yankees and Cleveland. I just don't think – I don't know if the bullpen will hold up. I'm not too sure. You know, their middle relief or their back end, we'll see what happens. But the Angels, to me, They're going to be in second. It's really about Pujols and Hamilton. They might be able to catch the A's, but I just worry about the pitching. The Rangers are going to be probably not that bad. Let's see what Prince can do there. He could actually have MVP season. Didn't predict it, but he could definitely do it at Texas. Then I got Cano. Seattle doesn't quite have enough. They might be a year or two out, but they're on the upswing, and then Houston fifth. So that's how I see the AL West breaking down.
Okay. I got Texas winning, the Angels in second, Oakland, that perennial. Now, Oakland can be first, second, or third, frankly. I mean, Donaldson and Moss, and they've got that great pitching staff. You can
you like the Rangers with your boy Darwish, although he might be a little banged up a little.
He's a little banged up. He's day-to-day. But you, Darvish, not only that, but, you know, we're starting to reveal our rewards. But I think he wins the Cy Young. I think he's the American League Cy Young winner. So I like Texas to win the division. Like you said, I think Prince Fielder will do big things in Texas. The warm weather, the ball's going to jump off
park.
The
park. So
Texas, the
maybe
Angels.
Maybe 50 homers? You think he could get 50?
No, I don't. Well, 42. He's possible. Is he still vegan? What's he doing? Or is he back to the burgers? And
I don't know. I think he got some pork chops. I think he got some spare ribs. Let's see.
Because we remember his daddy. His daddy helped bring us the title in 96 to the Yankees. Cecil came from Japan.
Cecil.
And he came
Cecil
back and
good,
did big
man.
Things for us. So we're always indebted to the Fielder household. You know?
Yeah.
They're always welcome to eat.
So you have,
vegan
you have
or not.
Seattle and you have Seattle 4th, Houston 5th, right?
Seattle 4th, Houston 5th, yeah. I think even though Seattle's got, Felix Hernandez and they've got a few other young pitchers.
King
they've
Felix,
got,
I got him on my fantasy team, Ray. You got to love King Felix.
They got our boy Cano. I think Cano will be frustrated. I think he'll start to get real frustrated real soon at the fact that they're not winning. I mean, I think this team probably projects to win 70, 75 games, and that's not the – that's not the 90 to 100 games that he's been
No,
used
he
to.
Needs he needs guys to get on base in front of him, and he needs someone to protect him in the lineup. And, I just don't think they have that. So let's talk about our wild card and our champion, and then we could do the AL award. So my wild card, I've got Yankees and Indians, and the AL, I guess, title game, ALCS. I really just think that Madden and the Rays and Price and the pitching and the timely hitting, I think Tampa is actually going to beat out Detroit 4-3 in a great ALCS series.
Okay. I like Boston and the LA Angels of Anaheim, that's a mouthful, to play in the AL wild card. I think Boston has the right balance of pitching and hitting, and I think that the confidence last year, and David Ortiz has his money, and I think that rotation with Lester and Buchholz and the other guys that they have in there.
You like my guy Jackie Bradley Jr.?
Forget that. Grady Sizemore.
Yeah,
Grady
he's back
Sizemore
at the homer,
off the scrap heap coming
two
back.
2 years.
Doing big things, and Uehara in the bullpen. I like their depth of their rotation. I like their unity. Shane Victorino got banged up a little bit. I'm thinking that he'll be back soon enough. And I think Xander Bogaerts and Middlebrooks is kind of an unknown at third base and shortstop. But I think the Red Sox come in second. But I think they lose to the Angels. So I like the Detroit Tigers here in a battle of heavyweights, really. The two best teams in the American League to me are Detroit and Tampa Bay, and I think they play ultimately for the ALCS. But I think Detroit, I think this is their year. I think they huff and they puff and they knock down the door, and they win 4-2. I think Tampa's going to have trouble scoring. Even though they've got Myers and they've got Longoria and they've got Zobrist, they're still going to have trouble scoring. They can pitch. And they've got a pretty deep rotation with Moore and Price and all those guys. But ultimately,
yeah, I think Myers is going to have a big season.
Detroit
like
wins
Myers.
4-2 and represents
okay,
the American
Okay, so we got the
League.
Opposite. We got the same teams battling, but I got the Rays, you got the Tigers. All right, so obviously I already know who your MVP is, right? You're going with your man. I'm going to go with Trout. You
yeah,
got
I
Trout
got Mike
too.
Trout also. Ultimately, he could have been the two-time defending MVP already.
Yeah,
if you just took his
Cabrera.
Numbers in the abstract, You know, he could have been both this year and the year last year and the year before. He could have been MVP. So I think this is his year.
Yeah, I think this year the players will play around him better. He'll even have more ribbies, more opportunities for runs scored, everything. And I'm going to go for Rookie of the Year. I'm going to go with our guy in New York. I'm going to go with Tanaka, Masasuke Tanaka.
You think Tanaka's got a shot? It's weird for me to call an older guy a professional
from Japan,
a rookie. But you know what? He's eligible, and he might win.
He's eligible, yeah.
I said my guy.
Oh, yeah.
Is Jose Abreu. So I'm sticking with him, first baseman for the Chicago White Sox. He'll be on a mediocre team, but I think he'll put up significant offensive numbers, and good for him. I like all these Cuban guys. I like when they get a chance to show their stuff in the major leagues.
He's not El Duque, though.
No, he's not. He didn't come over in a raft.
Yeah. Okay, so that's pressure. So Cy Young, I got to go with David Price. I just think Price is, the price is right. I think he's a stud.
So my guy is Yu Darvish. I think his the movement on his balls, he'll be in his third year already in the pros. He had a great year last year. He's a fantastic pitcher. I think he's in a hitter's ballpark, but his offense will save him some games, and he'll win 18 to 20 games. I think he'll be Cy Young.
Manager, I'm going with our friend to the friend of our friend of the show, Bob Brenly's buddy, Bob Melvin of the Oakland A's. I just think he's going to get it. I think the A's are going to have a great season.
So you like Melly Mel?
I like Melly Mel.
Last year at this, was it 2 years ago?
Right.
Could have been fired.
I know.
And then he comes back and essentially is the best manager in baseball. So that just tells you how flaky, the world of sports is.
It's almost
right?
Like Mattingly last year, right? You know, Mattingly's story. They were about to get rid of him.
Yeah. So
who's your manager?
Joe Maddon. I think that this guy is tough as nails. I think his players love playing for him. He gives the Tampa Bay Rays their identity. And they kept Price for 1 year. Maybe they'll lose him next year to free agency. But this year is Tampa's year to make it happen. I don't think they'll win at all. In fact, I have them losing in the ALCS, but I think Joe Maddon leads them to 93-94 wins, something like that, in that brutal,
he's a good manager.
AL East. So, he's the real deal.
Yeah. And then comeback. I had to do it for all of us guys who've broken our ankle. I'm rooting for our main man, one of the greatest Yankees ever, at least top six or seven, we'll say, Derek Jeter. I think Jeter comes back, and I think he's going to put up a good season.
Number two, Derek
Jeter.
Number two.
Yeah, man.
I have to go with a different Yankee and a guy that we traded Montero for, a guy that was an awesome, young, up-and-coming pitcher 3 years ago in Seattle, Michael Pineda. I believe this guy is big and strong, and if he can get his stuff back, he missed two full seasons.
Pineda.
It's hard to bounce back from that, but if he does, even if he has a good year, that's a comeback. You know? That guy's been out of baseball for 2 years. Just like Grady Sizemore coming back is a real, real comeback. So I like Michael Pineda.
Okay. Well, I hope Pineda does well. So let's go to the National League. The NL East, you saw it yesterday up close. I got to go with the Nats winning the division. And then I think the Braves, who I have for my wild card, will come in second. You know, I think Atlanta is really tough. You know, Upton's, the brothers. But I just think this is Bryce Harper's year. And I think with Strasburg back, David Johnson, I think Washington's going to be special. So I got Washington, Atlanta. I actually got the Mets in third. For some reason, I think they're gonna get scrappy. I think some of their young players will play above their heads, as we saw Andre Brown maybe do and some of these other guys. Now, the Phillies, who knew, how they're going to start off smacking the Rangers 14-10 and Jimmy Rollins looking like, an MVP again. But I have them fourth and then Florida Marlins fifth, so... Well,
I think the Marlins are terrible, so unfortunately they're going to finish fifth. They have a couple young prospects, right?
Oh, Giancarlo Stanton's a beast.
And Giancarlo Stanton, and even a few other young kids on their roster. but I think Miami brings up the rear. So I
can have trouble scoring runs.
Yeah. Switch Atlanta and Washington. I think Atlanta wins the division despite losing all those pitchers. I think that they'll still be okay and still have enough to win the division.
Freddie Freeman.
Even though I think Washington is a better team. I just think Washington isn't quite there yet. It'll take them this season. They're under the new coach, under your boy from former Arizona, you know, former Diamondback. So they're representing under our guy. I believe Matty Williams. So they got him. Who, by the way, if they do well, he could easily win, you know, Manager of the Year. But
yeah, that
I
would
think
be
Atlanta
a great story.
Wins in the regular season, but Washington does better in the playoffs. I think Phillies 3. You had the Mets 3, I think. I think the Mets, especially if Bobby Parnell goes down, I just think that they have not enough juice either on offense or on defense. You know, I don't think they pitch as well. Certainly, you know, if they have any more injuries with the pitching staff, I think they're going to be – they're just in for a mediocre season, 75 wins or so, 80 wins at best, and Miami finishing fifth.
Yeah, it might be kind of rough for the Mets. Well, the Central is my other division where I got two teams going in. Look, the Cardinals and Red Sox are both, you know, hey, they could wind up in a World Series again. That's how talented both of those teams are. And I think the Cardinals are amazing. You know, look, Wainwright, you know, all the hitters from John Jay to, you know, Holiday, everybody, Alan Craig, I think they're just a solid team. So to me, and of course, Yadier is the man, Molina. I don't know if anyone can beat the Cardinals. So, but I got the Reds in second, and I like my man Chapman in the bullpen. I think Johnny Cueto will come back, have a big year.
Well, hopefully Chapman will come back in the next 4 or 5 weeks. He got that.
Well, yeah. Ooh. I mean, I think he's going to come back, and I think oh my God, who's the other pitcher? Latos will be okay. I think overall they'll get healthy and they're going to get
Homer
right.
Homer Bailey,
and
they've got some.
Yeah,
got
we
some
need Votto.
Yeah,
and I think Votto's got to bang out 35 homers. He needs a big year. I think he needs a big year. So we'll see. I think the Pirates are going to be right on him, though. I like McCutchen and the boy, obviously, you know, MVP from last year. But I think the Pirates will come in third, just miss the playoffs. Then I have the Brewers, and then oh, God bless the Cubs.
So I have St. Louis repeating and doing their thing. They're like a machine over there in on Lake
who knew getting rid of Pujols that all these guys would be that good, right? Alan Craig, John Jay, like who knew? Like, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, especially the Pujols thing where they just didn't even skip a beat, won a World Series. So yeah, I think St. Louis wins. I think Pittsburgh comes in second. They beat out your Cincinnati Reds. I think the Reds have a little bit of a disappointing year, given all the talent, given all the expectations. You know, throw Jay Bruce in there, Brandon Phillips, all those guys. I think they come up a little bit short. I think they're inconsistent. Even though they have talent, I think that the pitching's inconsistent. I'm not sure that Johnny Cueto returns to his old form.
He looked good the other night.
But can he do it for a whole year? Can he stay healthy? I'm not sure. And then I think Milwaukee, despite Ryan Braun's return, still comes in fourth. And then the Cubs are still rebuilding. I mean, Theo Epstein probably gets another year or two to rebuild, but ultimately they need to start winning some games.
It's going to be hard in that division, though, don't you think? To really, honestly, and you look at the other teams, the Reds, Pirates, and Cardinals are all pretty young. They have veterans within their team, but their core great guys, pitching and fielders, are pretty young. So it's going to be – the Cubs need another realignment for Theo to get them they need an AL realignment. So in the NL West, I got the Dodgers first. I just think Clayton Kershaw is going to be fine. You got Greinke, you got pitching, you got, you know, if their lineup can stay healthy the whole season.
Ryu pitched great. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no reason. I mean, they started off 2-1. We'll see how they finish off with the Padres, but you know, swept the D-backs. But there's no reason to think that this lineup, and having Puig for the whole season, but if this lineup stays healthy, that they can't just clearly, you know, breeze through and kill this division. I got the Giants second. I do think the D-backs are going to be good. Let's see how Trumbo does and Goldschmidt and, you know, some of their pitching issues. You know, having losing Corbin, I think, will drop them down. And I just think that the Giants – you know, we'll see how Michael Morris comes over, gives them some more run support. If they can, you know, get some timely hitting, you know, Buster Posey will have a close to MVP season second. I got the D-backs third. The Padres, they might be a little surprising. They're young and scrappy. I like the Padres at fourth, you know, still a bit for them. And then I got the Rockies with my boy Troy Tulowitzki at five. And Delgado,
Michael
Carlos.
Michael Kadire. So,
yeah, they got some players.
The Dodgers are the class of this division when it comes to talent. The question is, will they execute? I think they'll execute it in the regular season. So I have them winning the division. I have your Arizona Diamondbacks finishing second, and I have Paul Goldschmidt leading the way there. I think that obviously losing some pitching hurts them, but I think this division is pretty weak. So behind them I have Colorado finishing third. Ahead of San Francisco, who are only 2 years removed from winning the World Series. So,
yeah, you're not showing them no love, the Giants,
no,
baby.
No, I got them fourth, and then I got this Padre team that's just another team that's not very good. I got them in fifth.
Okay. So MVP for me, well, actually, let's do the playoffs. So the wild card, like I said, I got Atlanta and Cincy coming in there. That's going to be a great series.
I
That's
have Washington
a toss-up.
And Arizona as the two playoff teams. I have your Diamondbacks and the Washington Nationals. I think the NL Central teams beat up on each other, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati in particular, and I think that down the stretch they cost each other the wild card.
Oof, yeah, it's gonna be like baseball. It's going to want more playoff teams. But in the NLCS, I think your guys put it together, like you were saying, and I think it's the Dodgers who put it together. I think somehow them or Washington will get past the Cardinals, and I think the Dodgers actually beat Washington 4-3. So the Dodgers meet the Rays in the World Series.
So I have the same two teams, but I have a different outcome. I have Washington not doing great in the regular season. Remember, last year, everybody thought they'd win 97, 98, 99 games.
Huge disappointment.
So I have them winning enough to be a wild card team, and I have them advancing and beating the Dodgers 4-3. So I have those Washington Nationals, those pesky Nats, coming through, led by your boy Bryce Harper. If he can stay healthy, he almost got knocked out trying to break up a double play in the first game.
He plays 110 miles per hour. You got to love that about him, but it is a little wild. He didn't
need a
stick.
It's a little scary if you're the GM.
He jumped on that base too high, man. He slid up and just, yeah. So before we have our World Series picks, let's go through the awards for the NL. MVP, I'm going to go with him. He's a wild man, Bryce Harper. I think it's his time now. I think he's ready this year.
I don't know if he can stay healthy. He's too erratic out there, especially on the base pad. He did say he's not going to run into walls, but I don't know. I hope he does, but we shall see. I have Paul Goldschmidt. I have your boy. And
he's great.
In Arizona.
He's one of the clutchest. Yeah, he should have got some votes last year. Didn't. Very clutch hitter, very underrated, and the Diamondbacks have a pretty good lineup. So that's a good one. Rookie of the Year, I'm going to take a shot. And you said you can't steal first off air, but I just like I like Billy Hamilton. He came up last year. He stole a lot of bases towards the end of the season. I think this guy learns how to bunt. He can bunt for like 260, 250. I think he's going to get it together, start to hit the curveball eventually, maybe, you know, June, July, and I think he'll be the Rookie of the Year. I think he's going to be dominant in center field for the Reds.
If he stays with the team and he can hit 260, 265, he could steal 75, 80 bases. I mean, this guy's that good. He's unbelievable. If he can hit 280, he can steal 100 bases. He's somebody to watch for. I like Colton Wong from the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, granted, he's not a true rookie. He played last year. I mean, he'll be eligible for Rookie of the Year, but he played last year. He played
eligible,
in the postseason. But I like
him. He had a bad error yesterday.
I like him. Right. I think coming up, I think
he
having
could.
Played those those 30 games gives him an advantage over pure rookies. I'd like him to win NL Rookie of the Year.
Okay, well, after the rookies, we got to go to the pitchers. Saya, I'm going to go back with I'm going to call him DJ SNS, or the Underground Mixtape cats that know what I'm talking about. Steven Strasburg, I think he's back. I think he's hungry. I think missing the time and no more pitch count, really. I think this guy's ready to let it rip, and I think we're going to see the star that he got hit up a little bit, the Mets. What did he have, 8 strikeouts?
Yeah, he only gave up 5 hits, though. 2 of them were home runs. But, yeah, I could see that. Look, Clayton Kershaw's the best pitcher in the NL, and he got paid like it, $30 million a year. But I like Adam Wainwright. Quiet is kept.
Ooh.
He does big things for St. Louis.
Okay.
And I think they win the division and ride his back.
I could
Who's
see him holding
it
down for the card. I got to go with Donnie Baseball. I think Donnie Baseball is going to do something special with this Dodger team. So I got to go with Donnie.
Okay. I have Freddy Gonzalez. I think that despite losing all that pitching, Freddy finds a way to pull it out and loves it in Atlanta and does big things with the Braves.
He's got a lot of talent over there, I'll tell you that. Freddie Freeman, the Upton brothers, they got Atlanta's a good team, man. So I got, I guess we already said it, but my wild card, Atlanta, Cincinnati.
Oh, comeback
and then,
player. Who's your comeback player?
Oh, that's right. Okay. My comeback, I talked about him. He looked good last night. Johnny Cueto, man. I think I like the Cincinnati Red team. You know, eventually I think they might have a shot to win it. It's just not. They're not there yet, so maybe a year away. But I think Johnny Cueto will get it together. And, you know, maybe 18-11, 17-10. He's going to have a good season. I think he's going to come back.
Okay. I like Starlin Castro from the Cubs. I think that he's willing to move to a second base position. He had a terrible year last year. He was an up-and-coming star and 2 years ago. And then last year had a terrible year. He's only 25 years old. So you figure this guy's got a whole lot of baseball ahead of him. Now, they have a great prospect coming up, and he might move over to second base. It's a little bit of an easier position. So I like Castro on a bounce back here. Plus, he knows that Theo might get rid of him if he doesn't do better. So Starlin Castro.
No pressure, right? No pressure. So World Series, we talked about it. I just think Madden, Price, Longoria, the whole crew, they've been knocking on the door, them and the Tigers, but I think they beat the Tigers to the door this time. They turned the knob, and I think they beat the Dodgers. I think the Tampa Bay Rays, for those who are old school, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays win the World Series 2014 over the Los Angeles Dodgers.
So I think that the Dodgers get beat by the Washington Nationals, and they represent the NL. So I have the Washington Nationals losing to the Detroit Tigers 4-2. I think it's finally the – just like you think it's Tampa, I think it's Detroit. They finally get over the hump. I think they have their megastar in Miguel Cabrera. I think they have their healthy lineup now with Kinsler and Jackson. And they're able to put together – the right combination of offense, and they have those three starters, Anibal Sanchez and, of course, Scherzer and Verlander, and the key acquisition is Joe Nathan. So they don't have questions anymore in the back of the bullpen.
Right.
So I think
he's just
got to
stay healthy,
team.
Hold up. Yeah. No, listen, I think I just have the Rays barely beating them in a 7-game series, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Tigers can get there either. We both have the Dodgers, though, huh?
No, I have the Dodgers losing to Washington. I have Detroit beating the Nationals.
Okay. So we had them in the Final Four. Okay. We both
have.
Okay, so you got the Nats losing to the Tigers, and I've got the Rays. So we both got American League teams, though, winning.
Yep.
So it's going to be a fun baseball season. I'm definitely got to be kind of excited. You know, we got some fantasy baseball going. I think it's going to be good, man. It's going to be a good season. And I wish our Yankees – look, we're Yankee fans, for those who know, friends to the show and people who listen. You know, you got to want New York teams. I would like to see the Mets play good, but I'd like to see the Yankees win. It's been a rough basketball season, rough football season for New York sports fans. So definitely help the Yankees start off. It is Jeter's last year, and it's been a great run. I mean, we can't be happier, right? I mean, we're spoiled. I mean, Yankees fans are just straight up spoiled. So, I guess that's all you could really say, you know. So, great show. We will be back Friday to preview, officially preview, and give you our picks for the Final Four, and we will get back talking to the NBA because the playoffs are near. Great win for the Knicks, Ray. They're a game back, right? They beat Utah last night.
Game back,
and,
two in the loss column. So yeah.
Yeah, but Hardaway got hurt. That's the rough one. And then out west, 7, 8, and 9 are all 44-30. Memphis, who we both said would, you know, make it, the Mavs and the Suns. So we'll get back to the NBA, and obviously that was our breaking news, talking about the Pacers, who fell a game or half a game behind Miami, and Larry Bird said, you know what, I'm taking over. So let's see what happens. I'm back. It's going to be fun. So we'll talk to you on Friday. Great show, and thanks for listening.
Talking
Sports
with
Fred.
We
Peace.
Are out.
Yes, sir. Young Willie Beeman, my boy, made it back to school today. Yeah, man.